Today's Shir Masech Tamid is on Daf Chaf Vav. We will begin on Daf Chaf Hamid Beis at the beginning of the last line with the words, Ira Keri Le'echad Mehen. This Shir, as well as all of Seder Kachim, is Le'ili Nishmas Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Kupietsky Zichron Levracha. Let us begin with a short Hagdama. We are discussing the first Mishnah Masech Tamid. We're in the middle of that Mishnah, and we have just learned that the Kohanim who were to do the Avodah the next day, they would sleep in one of the large halls there, which was called the Beis HaMoked, the Hall of Fire. There was a fire in the Beis HaMoked, and we went into the reasons in yesterday's shiur. The question is how the Kohanim were allowed to sleep there. We learned in yesterday's shiur as well that Ein Yeshiva Ella L'Malchei Beis David B'Milvad, that only the kings of Beis David were allowed to even sit in the Beis HaMikdash. So how were the Kohanim allowed here even to sleep? And the answer that the Rishonim give is that the Beis HaMoked, either in its entirety or part of the Beis HaMoked, was not in the Azara. It was built outside of the Azara, and the Kohanim would sleep in that area of the Beis HaMoked. If only part of it was outside of the Azara, they would sleep in that area which was outside of the Beis HaMoked, and that part was not Niskadesh. It did have the Kedusha of Har HaBayis, because it was on the Har HaBayis, as we'll see later, but in terms of not sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMoked did not have that halacha. Now, we're going to be discussing what happens if, during their sleep, one of them had a seminal discharge, which would make them a Baal Keri. So normally the halacha is that a Baal Keri is Tameh, and he's usher to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. In order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, he would require tefillah, and midaraisa, that's sufficient, but the Rabbanan said that a Tvul Yom is also not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash, someone who only had tefillah, but rather he has to have Harav Shemesh. He has to wait till the evening. Whenever during the 24 hours he became Tamei, he would have to wait till the beginning of the next evening, Harav Shemesh, to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if a person had a carry while he was in the Beis HaMikdash? Then he has to, of course, immediately leave the Beis HaMikdash. Our Mishnah is discussing what happens if one of these Kohanim who was sleeping, preparing for the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash the next day, what happens if he had carry during the evening? Says the Mishnah on the last line of Chaf Hamid Beis, Ira carry la'echad mehem. If one of these Kohanim had carry, Yotzei v'holichlo, so he leaves the Beis HaMoked where he was sleeping, and he goes, as we turn to Chav Vav Amid Aleph, b'mesiba ha-hoyleches, and both the Bach and the Sheet in Ois Aleph take out the next word, lo, b'mesiba ha-hoyleches tachas ha-bira. They would go into the mesiba that went under the bira. What is mesiba and what is bira? So let us begin with mesiba. Mesiba means a tunnel. There were subterranean passageways under the Beis HaMikdash, which were not Niskadesh, and there was the Beis HaTfilah. So let's begin with his journey from the Beis HaMoked. In the Beis HaMoked, there were four chambers, and the one in the northwest was called the Lishkas Beis HaMoked. So he would enter the Lishkas Beis HaMoked, and according to the Mefarish here, he brings down from Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Zitzal, there was like a circular stairway that went from the Lishkas Beis HaMoked down into a tunnel that went under the Bira. What is Bira? So really, this is a machlokes of Yoichan and Rish Lakish in Yuma Dav Beis Amid Aleph. According to Rish Lakish, the whole Beis HaMikdash is called the Bira, the castle. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, it was only part of the Beis HaMikdash that was referred to as the Bira. But either way, both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the subterranean tunnel in which he's entering was in that area which was not Niskadesh. It was under the Beis HaMikdash, it was under the Bira, but But as we said, it had no kedusha. V'neirois dolken mikan u'mikan. And on this winding tunnel that was bringing him to the Beis HaTfilah, where he would be tovel, there were lights here and there, from this side, from that side, in order to light the way that he could see where he's going. Ad shehu magi l'Beis HaTfilah. Until he would enter into the Beis HaTfilah, which was underground. Umadura hoisa sham. There was a light, there was a fire in there. It doesn't specify exactly where there is. And actually, there's a three-way machloikis here. The Mefarish here tells us that this was in the Mechila Samach L'Beis HaTfilah. This was in the tunnel way near to the place, the room where the mikveh was. However, others learn that this was, in fact, a mikveh in the Lishkas Beis HaMoked, in that chamber where the circular stairway began and ended downstairs. In that Lishka, there was this fire. And finally, there's a pshat that this refers to the fire that was in the Beis HaMoked itself. And as we're going to see from the Mishnah here, the purpose of this fire for someone going to the mikveh was in order that after the mikveh, he would dry himself off, warm himself up. And according to this, we would have a new reason why there was a fire in the Beis HaMoked. Yesterday, we mentioned that the Rosh in Yuma says the purpose was for a Eishel Hedget, even though the fire on the Mizbeach came from Hashem. Hashem brought down a fire on the Mizbeach, but it was still necessary to light the Mizbeach with the Eish of a Hedget. Where did that Eish come from? From a private person. So there was the fire in the Beis HaMoked, which was not Kaddish, this was Shal Hedget, and from there they would light the Mizbeach. The Rashi in Zvachim, Daf Chav Dalet, gives a different reason. Since the Kohanim used to go barefoot on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and from the cold they would get very cold by going on without any socks or shoes, they would go barefoot. So in order to warm up, they warmed up with the Eish of the Beis HaMoked. Now, according to our Gemara, we have a third reason why we have the Beis HaMoked, in order that after the Tefillah, the Kohen would be able to dry himself and warm himself up. Continues the Mishnah, Ubeis HaKisei Shel Kovod. There was also a bathroom which gave honor. Now, first of all, what was the purpose of this bathroom? And in what way did it give honor? So the Mishnah is going to tell us in a moment how it gave honor. But as far as the purpose was that he should urinate this Kohen, who became Tamei, through becoming a Balkeri, before he goes to the mikveh, he should use the facilities. Because if he would go after the mikveh, then we're afraid that some residue of the keri would be emitted when he passes water. So therefore, we tell him, go before you go to the mikveh. And therefore, if there was any keri, vestiges of the keri remaining, it would come out when he urinates. And memela, he wouldn't become tamei right away after going to the mikveh by using the facilities then. So that was the purpose of the Beis HaKisei right over there next to the Beis HaTfilah. Why was it covered? So that the Mishnah answers. This was the honor of that Beis HaKisei. Matzoi nol, if somebody found it closed, Yodeya, or the Shita says, biyadua, it was known, she'esh amadim. If you found the door closed, you knew that somebody was using the facility. Pasuach, if you found the door open, be a duish ancient on him, then you knew there was no person. So the Mefarish says that the covet was that a person didn't have to ask, is anyone in the room? Is anyone using the facilities? He knew. He had a simon. The door's closed, someone's using it. That was the covet. And the Ritva and Bracha says the covet was, not only was the door closed, but you were able to lock the door. And therefore, nobody by accident would go in when someone was using the facilities. Continues the Mishnah, Yorad v'Toval, this Balkeri went down to the mikveh, and he was Toval in the mikveh, although he came up after the mikveh in the stomach, and he dried himself off, and the Schamim, and he warmed himself up, Kenegra Madura, opposite the fire that was either in, we said, in the Beis HaMoked, or in the Lishkas Beis HaMoked, or right next to the Beis HaTfilah, in the hallway, in the tunnel there. Now, continues the Mishnah, Bo v'yoshev lo eitzel echav ha-kanim. After he went to the mikveh, he came back to the Beis HaMoked, and he sat down with the rest of the Kohanim. Ad, according to the Shita, we should read the next words, Ad shehashorim niftachim, until the gates were opened, ready for the avoda. The gates were only opened when they're ready to do the avoda. V'yotze v'holichloi. And then he went out of the gates home. Some say this was a rishus. He didn't have to leave, but he could have stayed, but he had a rishus to go. And others say that actually he was told to leave in order that inadvertently he shouldn't do the avoda. Because after all, even as we mentioned before, even though he went to the mikveh, but he was still only a tful yom. He didn't have Sheher of Shemesh until the next evening. So he was not allowed to do the avoda. So since he might inadvertently do the avoda, he was asked to please leave the Beis HaMikdash. But this actually raises a question. If he went to the mikveh, how afterwards could the Mishnah say, Bo v'yoshev lo eitzel echav ha-kohanim? He went and he sat down next to his brothers, the Kohanim. We mentioned that even though the whole Beis HaMoked, or this part of the Beis HaMoked, was not in the Azorah, and that's why the Kohanim were able to sleep there, but it was after all on the Har HaBayis. And the Rabbanan say that if you on the Har HaBayis, a Tvul Yom is not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. So he went to the mikveh, but and where he was in the mikveh, that's subterranean, has no kedusha, fine. How does the Mishnah say that he's allowed to go back to the Beis HaMoked and sit with the other Kohanim when he's a tful yom? He didn't have hair of Shemesh yet. He's not allowed into the Har HaBayis. So even if this only has kedushas Har HaBayis, how is he allowed to do it? And the answer, the Rishonim discuss this question, and Rabbeinu Tam gives an answer that since this is only Midrabbanan, Rabbeinu Tam is in Yevamos Tav Zayin Amid Beis, since this whole Isser is only Midrabbanan, the Rabbanan were makel. They said, to enter the Beis HaMikdash or the Har HaBayis as a Tful Yom, you're not allowed to. But since this happened while you were in the Beis HaMikdash, so we're not going to obligate you to leave in the middle of the night. Others say, because also to go at night by himself, to go home, it was dangerous. The Rabbanan did not force him to leave the Beis HaMikdash if the carry happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And even though he's a tful yom, he was allowed to remain there. In the morning, when the gates opened, then he was either allowed to go home or he was in fact asked to go home. Continues the Mishnah. Mi shehu roitz alitrim. Now we begin with the first avoda of each day was the trumas hadeshet. And what was that avoda? The avoda was to take a shovelful of ash from the previous day's karbonis, and to bring it next to the kevesh, the ramp that went up to the mizbeach, and to put it there, and then miraculously it got swallowed up by the ground there. This was the mitzvah's trumas hadeshet, which went only to one kohen each day. Now, how did they decide which kohen would do that avoda? So here they used the pius, which we find the Gemara in Yuma speaks about it. We're going to have it further in Talmud. The pius was, the lottery was done in the following way. The Kohanim who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen, they all stood in a circle. Each Kohen extended his finger. And then the Kohen who was appointed over the pius, he mentioned a very large number, which was larger than the amount of Kohanim that were standing there in a circle. Then he arbitrarily chose one kohen. He removed the hat that the kohen was wearing, and he began a count. Everybody stuck out their finger, and the kohen began counting the fingers. And he went round and round until he came to that large number that he had mentioned at the beginning of the count. And whichever kohen the count ended at, that was the kohen that was to do the avoda of that day. This we find in the Mishnah in Yuma, Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph. So Mishu writes a litrim. Whoever wanted to be part of the lottery to be designated to be Torem, the Trumas Adeshin, Lit Trumas HaMizbeach, Mashkim, he had to get up early. We'll soon see why did he have to get up early. The Tovel, he had to go to the mikveh. Now this tefillah had nothing to do with a Balkari. This tefillah was anyone who enters the Beis HaMikdash to do the avoda had to first go to the mikveh. So he was Tovel. Ad Shalo Yovah HaMemunah, before the appointed person came. This appointed person was either the person appointed on the pious, on the lottery, or it was the person appointed to see that the avodas hayom, that everything went smooth with the avoda that had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash for that day. And now we'll soon see what the memunah is going to do here. And the Mishnah asks, v'chi be'ezer shoa ba memunah, at what time exactly did the memunah come? Loi kaloitim shavis. The Mishnah answers, not all times were the same. Pom shuba mikrus agever. Sometimes he would come from the calling of the gever. We'll soon see what this means. Oi samachloi, near to it, mufonav before the krus agever. Oi me'achorav, or right after. Now, krus agever, the simple understanding would be the crow of the rooster, at the crack of dawn. This pshat is a little difficult, because we know Trumas Adeshin could be done at night. Now, if he's going to come, Samuchloi, the Mishnah says, before or after, then it's already after day. And he's making a lottery here, which Kayin is going to do the Trumas Adeshin. The Trumas Adeshin you're already able to do at night. So therefore, it L'chaira more mistaver to learn that Christ HaGever means a person, not the rooster, but HaGever means a person. Which person? There was a person whose job it was to go around the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim who were sleeping in the Beis HaMoked, he would wake them up. Like I had someone in the yeshiva when I learned in Ner Yisrael, he would, every morning he would wake up the Olam with Yisrael, Am Kedoshim, Shteit Oif, Lavoides HaBoirei. So he would ask the people, get up for the service of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. So he would do it at the last third of the evening. So then it was talk at night still. So we didn't know exactly when the Memunah would come, either right before he would go around waking people up, right after, but it would be with enough time to do the Trumas Adeshin in the evening before the crack of dawn. HaMemunah bo, now came this appointed person, v'davfak alein, he knocked on the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, v'hein poscheloi, they opened up for him. Amar lahen, he said to them, Misha Taval, whoever went to the mikveh, yavi v'yafis, he should come and be part of the lottery. Hefisu, they made the lottery, as we described it before, and now the sheet that says the next word should be Zacha Misha Zacha. Whoever had the number fall on them, he was the Kohen. He had to go first to the mikveh, but that was his only criteria for going and doing the Trumas Adeshin. And then if he won the lottery, he would do the avoda of Trumas Adeshin. Begins the Gemara, Minohani Mili. Many of the Gemaras on this daf have different pshatim, and the Gemara that we're going to learn right now has different mefarshim. We are going to learn according to the pshat of the mefarish. So the way the mefarish learns the Minohani Mili is the following. We mentioned in yesterday's shir from the Rosh that the pasuk that teaches us that the Kohanim have to guard the Beis HaMikdash is the pasuk Vishamru Mishmeres Oyel Moyed. So what the Gemara is asking now, Minohani Mili, is how do you know that there were three places that the Kohanim had to guard? The Gemara is not asking, according to the Mefarish, how do you know there's a mitzvah of Shimur? Now we have the pasuk that we just mentioned. The Gemara is trying to find out, how do you know three? And actually, what we're going to have from now till the end of this Amid are three different concepts that we have to find a source for. The first one is the number three. How do you know there were three places that the Kohanim, which was manned by three Kohanim? How do you know three Kohanim? We know, we learned in yesterday's shir, that the Leviim had 21 places that they guarded. But the Kohanim had three. So the first question is, how do you know that there were three? The second question is, how do we know that the Kohanim guarded in a different place than the Levium. Maybe they guarded together with the Levium, a mixture, Kahanim and Levium. And the third question that we have to resolve is, even amongst the Kahanim themselves, maybe all three were guarding in one place. How do you know that the Kahanim were divided up into three separate places? So again, we need the number three. We need a division Kahanim from Levium. And in the Kahanim itself, we have to know that the Kahanim themselves were separated into three places. How do we know that? Minoani Mili, Amar Abaya, Amar Korah, the Pasuk says, V'achaynim lefnei ha-mishkan, Kedma, the ones who camped in front of the Mishkan on the east side, lefnei Oel Moed Mizracha, in front of the Oel Moed to the east, Moshe, it was Moshe, who was the Levi, V'aron u'banav, and Aaron and his two sons, the only two sons who were still living, were Nadav ve'Avihu. So we have Aaron and his two sons. That's three Kehanim. Shomrim Mishmeres HaMikdash L'Mishmeres B'nai Yisrael. They were guarding the guarding of the Mikdash for the Mishmeres B'nai Yisrael. So the Gemara assumes that this pasuk is speaking about guarding in terms of the mitzvah of guarding the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. Now, by the way, the Gra says that, you know what our Gemara is trying to prove? Our Gemara wants to know, maybe this was only a mitzvah in the Mishkan. How do we know it was a mitzvah in the Mikdash also? And what the Gemara says, no, since we find that you needed three, you needed Aaron and his two sons, if it was in the Mishkan, one could rationalize and say, perhaps there it was more to make sure people wouldn't steal. The Mishkan was very open that people could go and steal. The Beis HaMikdash was, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, had these massive doors, which the Yosefun says you needed 20 people to move the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. They were so heavy. So when they were locked, it was very hard to steal something from the Beis HaMikdash. So if the whole purpose is to prevent theft, one person would have been enough. The fact that you require three indicates that the Shemira is more, as we explained in yesterday's shir, it's more like an honor guard. That, as the Rambam said, that when you guard something, it gives chashivas, it gives importance to that place that you are guarding. And we also learned the pasuk that tells us, Ushmartem es mishmeres habayis misoch. You can't have indifference to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to totally always be aware that there is the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why you have these honor guards there. So once I know you need three Kohanim, that indicates it's not merely an inyan of stopping theft. Rather, it's an inyan of the covet of the Beis HaMikdash. So learns the Gra, our Gemara. But again, the Mefarish is learning different. The Mefarish says, how do we know three? So we've already answered three, because we have Aaron Ubanav. Aaron is one, Nadav Avihu is another two. You have a total of three. The Gemara has problems with this limit. Why? Amri, I'll tell you the following. In Shimmer Baal Ma'ashkechan, the boy, and the sheet that takes out the next three words. Okay, you've proven to me in a general way that you have to guard. And you've also, according to the Mefarsh, we'll have to say, you've shown me that you need three people in order to guard. Okay, I'll grant you that. But I have a different issue. Miu masnising tani b'shloishim akam yisakhanim shayim rebeis hamigdash. Our Mishnah said that the kohanim guard in three places. And v'alevim b'esrim v'echad makam, and the levim in 21 places. Now, by the way, this V'halavim be'esrim ve'echad makam, if you look in our Mishnah, it doesn't say it. Our Mishnah only says, b'shloishim makam yisakayinim sharim beis hamikdash. This quote, v'halavim be'esrim ve'echad makam, is in a Mishnah in Masechta Midos. It's not in our Mishnah. So some take out, the Shita says, take out these words. They're not found in our Mishnah. And others say, begoris these words in our Mishnah. From our Gemara, you see that the correct Gersa in our Mishnah is the 21 word Levium. Ve'ilu kro kohanim Levium b'hadi adarik siv. We're going to learn like the Mefarish that this is all one big kasha. What's the big kasha? And from the Mefarish, he doesn't quote these words, v'alavim b'esrim echad makam. He just quotes the Quran, and we're in three places. But that's enough to give us the following question. The question is very simple. In the Pasuk, it says, Moshe and Aaron Ubanov. So you have Moshe Levi, and you have Aaron and his two sons. So you have a mixture, L'chaira, it's together, Kohanim and Leviim. But yet, look in our Mishnah says, B'shloishim Akarmas Akarim Shaimer Beis HaMikdash. Even if we're not Goyrus 21 Leviim, our Mishnah is indicating that the Kohanim had their own unique role of being Shaimer three places. Question is, from the Pasuk it would seem, they don't have a unique role. They're together with the Leviim, Moshe, V'Aaron, and his Ubanov. That's the Gemara's Kasha according to the Mefarish. So the Gemara answers, Amri, I'll tell you, Hachi Kamar. And again, the Mefarish learns, if you're correct that the Levi and Leviim go together with the Kohanim, why do I need two verbs in the Pasuk? Let's look back at the Pasuk that the Gemara brings on the first line of the Gemara. Amr Kra, V'hachoynim lifnei ha-mishkan kaden, lifnei ha-moed mizracha, Moshe v'aron ubanov, shoymrim mishmeres ha-migdash l'mishmeres, b'nei Yisrael. So what are the two verbs? Choynim and shoymrim. So it says the Mefarish, what do we need the word choynim for? Just start off. Lifnei ha-mishkan kaden, lifnei ha-moed mizracha, Moshe v'aron ubanov, shoymrim mishmeres ha-migdash. They're all shoymer. Elamai, since I have two verbs, that indicates that as the Gemara continues, let's see the Gemara inside. Amri Hachi Kamar. V'hachoynim lifnei ha-mishkan kaden lifnei ha-olam moed mizracha Moshe. Moshe is dwelling in front of the entrance to the olam moed on the east side. But v'hoder aron ubanav shayim remishmeres ha-migdash. And from this I learn out that aron b'chad makoim ubanav b'shnei mekoimis. That aron is in one place and his children are in two places. Now, really, if you ask me, I would say you didn't learn that out. You only learned out that Moshe is separate from Aaron and his children. The Gemara is soon going to question, how did you learn out that Aaron is separate from his children? That's Gemara is going to ask in a moment. But meanwhile, we've already established there are three Kohanim. We've also established that the Kohanim are separate from the Leviim. That's why you have two verbs in the Pasuk. The Moshe the Levi is Chaynim, that's separate, and then Shaimrim, that's Aaron Ubanov. But the Gemara is going to challenge this. Let's continue the Gemara. Mimai, how did you learn out that Aaron is separate from Moshe? Midichsiv Achaynim, Uksiv Shaimrim, Chaynim Lechud v'Shaimrim Lechud. So you divided up Chaynim from Shaimrim. Very good. But here comes my question. The Shita puts in a Vav. Maybe Aaron and his children, you're right, they're separated from Moshe, but maybe they're all one together. How do you know they're in three places? Says the Gemara, loy, salkadat, don't entertain such a thought. As the Shita puts in the word, kim Moshe, ma Moshe b'chad mokam l'chudei, just like Moshe is the sole Levi that the Pasuk speaks about. And he's by himself, af Aaron Ubanov b'chad mokam l'chudei. Aaron Ubanov are also, or as the gears of the sheet is, kol chad v'chad b'chad mokam l'chudei. By Aaron Ubanov, they're comparable to Moshe. Just like Moshe is individual written in the Pasuk by himself, Aaron and his children, each one is in a separate place, and that's how we get our Mishnah, that B'sholish Mekoimis, the Kohanim are Shoimer. So we've answered all our questions. We have three Kohanim. We have Kohanim separate from Leviim. Moshe is Chaynim, the Leviim are Chaynim, and the Kohanim are Shoimer, separate. And then we have the Kohanim themselves are like Moshe, like he's independent. Each Kohen was independent as well. The Raven asks the Kasha, if you're going to learn from this Pasuk, why don't we learn out that you also have to be Shomer in the east? The Moshe and Aaron and his children were only Shomer in the east. And for example, we know that the Kohanim were Shomer in the Beis HaNitzutz. That was one of the three places in the Mishnah. Beis HaNitzutz is to the north of the Beis HaMikdash, not to the east. So the Raven answers, it's not a chiyuv to be Shomer in the east. It was a practical matter. Because the door in the Mishkan was only available on the eastern side, so that's where everybody was Shomer. But Ein Echnami, the Beis HaMikdash, if I recall correctly, There are 13 different entrances into the Beis HaMikdash. So Memele, you have to have people all over. It wasn't sufficient to have it only in the east side. So the east side is not a prerequisite. It was just a practical matter that that's where they did it in the Mishkan. The Mikdash, of course, is different. Rav Ashi gives another answer. How do we know that the Kohanim watch in three separate places? Misefer Dekra, from the end of the Pasuk. Shomrei Mishmeres L'Mishmeres. It says three times in the Pasuk the word Mishmeres. It says Shomrim, then it says Mishmeres, HaMikdash L'Mishmeres. So Memela we learn out three times. And according to the Gra, we also have a source that it was not only in the Mishkan, it was in the Mikdash, because the Pasuk, if you look in the Pasuk, you'll see both the word Mishkan and the word Mikdash are written in this Pasuk. And we know a klal that the Mishkan is called a Mikdash, and the Mikdash is called a Mishkan. So the Pasuk is trying to tell us that whether it's Mishkan or Mikdash, you always need Shmir. As we turn to Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis, the Mishnah had stated that Beis Avtinus to Beis Hanitzitz, the way we have the Girsa in our Mishnah, if you look back at the Mishnah of Chaf Hamid Beis, we have a Girsa, Biveis Avtinus, Ubeveis Hanitzitz Hoyu Aliyas. We pointed this out yesterday. Some have it Biveis Avtinus, some have it only Beis Avtinus. And that could be the Shiloh of our Gemara right here. Our Gemara seems to have it without a Beis before, because it says, Beis Avtinus uBeis Hanitzitz. So, Iboy Elohu, Aliyus Mamish Hava, were the Beis Avtinus and the Beis Hanitzitz, where the Kohanim were Shomer, were they two stories high? Oy Dilma, the Hava, according to the Shita, your Gairis, the Hava Migvagvi, these two words are switched around, the Hava Migvagvi Baalius. There was no two stories. There was only an upper story. They were built in a high spot. The Rush says they were perhaps built on a mound. Tail, says the Rush. The Mefarish says they were built either on a high point in the Azorah, or they were built on pillars. But they didn't have any ground floor. So one way we could understand the Gemara's Shaila is, are you Goyris Biveis Avtinus or just Beis Avtinus? There's a major difference. If you say Biveis Avtinus Hoyalias, then it would indicate that what? That there's an entity called Beis Avtinus, and in the Beis Avtinus, there was also an Aliyah. There was two stories. But if you say Beis Avtinus Hoyalias, then it would seem to say that the Beis Avtinus was only made up of a higher floor. It didn't have a lower floor. That's one way to learn the Shaila. The other way, because our Gemara's Mashra didn't have the Girsa of Biveis, as I pointed out before, it just says Beis Avtinus. Maybe the Shaila is, what does Beis Avtinus mean? Does Beis Avtinus mean, when it says Hoyu Aliyas, does it mean a two-story Aliyah? That's the normal way that you always refer to Aliyas, that there's a bottom floor and a top floor. Or no, does Beis Avtinus Hoyu Aliyas mean that it was only Aliyas? Maybe, either way, this comes out the Shaila of the Gemara. Tashma, come in here. I'll bring you a ride from a Mishnah in Masechta Midas. The Mishnah there is discussing the gates that were all around the Beis HaMikdash. Shebet Sofen on the north side, Shar HaNitzes, was the gate of the we spoke about it in the Mishnah, where we had this open area, this open pavilion that let the sun shine in, and like the gate of the spark. Kimin Achsadra Hoya. It was a kind of a pavilion. Va'aliya Benuya Gaba. There was an upper floor built on top of it. Sha'akehanim Sharmin Milmala Va'alvim Amata. The Kahanim were guarding on top, and the Levim were guarding below. Upesech Hoyaloi L'chol. It had a door that went to the unkadoshtik part of the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or some, the Meiri says the Girsa over here is L'chayil. We know around the Beis HaMikdash, which was not Niskadesh, with the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azora, was a Chayil. So this gate of the Shar HaNitzutz, of this gate of the Beis HaNitzutz, there was, besides that gate, there was another door that went into the Chayil. But what do we see from here? We've answered our question. there were two stories, because it says the Kohanim were guarding on top and the Levim were guarding on the bottom. Minani Mili. We're going to learn this. There's various pshatim. We'll take one approach, the Rush. The Rush says, Minani Mili, what we just learned. How do we know that the Kohanim and the Levim are guarding in one spot, but in two elevations? They're both in the base, base Hanitzutz, but one is on top, one is on the bottom. How do we know this? The Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. And here, we're going to refer to Parshas Korach, Perek Yud Ches, and we're going to be learning Psukim Beis, Gimel, and Dalet. In Pasuk Beis, it says, before we see the Gemara, let's just go through the Psukim quickly inside. V'gamis achecha mate levi, shevet avicha, hakri vitach, v'yilavu alecha v'yishar sucha, v'ato v'necha itach l'fnei al edus. So the first Pasuk here is saying that you, the Kohanim, you should also join together with you the Levim. And what should the Levim do? It says in Pasuk Gimel, Vishamru Mishmarticha. They should help you by guarding what you have to guard. Umishmeris Kolayel. And then in Pasuk Dalet it says, Vinilvu Alecha, they should join you. Vishamru Es Mishmeris Oyel Moyed. L'chol Avoidas Oyel. So here in Pasuk Dalet, it doesn't say anymore they should help you with your Shmira. Here in Pasuk Dalet, it says they should help in the guarding of the oil mayit. So now the Gemara is going to analyze these three psukim. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, V'yilavu alecha v'yishar sucha, that was the first Pasuk, they should serve you, the Levim should serve the Kahanim. B'avoidoscha akasim medaber. The Pasuk is speaking about your avoida. And how do I know that? Says the Rosh. Because the very next Pasuk Gimel states, Vishamru Mishmarticha, that they should guard, they should help you guarding what you have to protect. But wait a second, the Gemara, again, the way the Rosh learns the Gemara, Ato Emer Bavaydosha Kosim Medaber, or Yein Ela Bavaydosam, maybe it's their own work. They had to carry the Kalim, they had to watch in 21 places. How, maybe the whole three Psukim are speaking about that the Levim are doing their own avoda. They have nothing to do with you. So how would they be serving you? They'll be serving you because by whatever they do, you won't have to do. So in that way, they're serving you. Kishu Oimer, when the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Dalet, V'nilvo Alecha V'shamru, as we read the Pasuk, and it says, Esh Mishmeres Oil Moyed, that they're going to guard not to help you. This is how the Rosh learns, that they're going to guard themselves. Oy einoy, elaba vaydosam, kishu oimer vinilvu alecha vishamaru. Hareba vaydosam amr, we skipped those four words, l'chol kele l'chol vaydosai. Kishu oimer vinilvu alecha vishamaru, hareba vaydosam amr. That pasuk, dalid, that's speaking about their avoda. So what am I, Mekayim Pasuk Beis, which says they should join you and serve you? Your avoda. Hakeitzad. There's a stira. The Rosh learns these psukim are seicher one another. One pasuk is mashma, they're going to serve you and they're going to do the kohanim's mishmar. The other pasuk, dalet is mashma, they're going to serve you by doing their own avoda. By them doing their own avoida, you won't have to do it. So in that way, they're helping you. But they're not going to do your avoida together with you. And the other pasuk says they will do your avoida together with you. It's a stira. The answer is, okay, it's sad. Kayanim shamim romala levia momata. The answer is, they're going to watch all the three places that you, Kohanim, are watching. In the base of Tinas, in the base of Nitzah, the base of Maiked, the Levim will be there also. The difference is, you'll be upstairs. As we learned, there's a purpose of, like you have guard of a city. He doesn't guard on the ground level. He guards on high, in a citadel, that he can overlook everything. So the Kohanim will be up high, and the Levim will be on the ground level. So that's how we're miyashev this apparent stira. Both are true. The Levim are with the Kohanim, but they're at different levels. On Amud Aleph, we learned that Moshe is separate from Aaron and his children. That's still true. The Levim are on the bottom and the Kohanim are on top. They're separate, but they're also serving together. How are they serving together? Because they're in the same place. Continues the Gemara, Beis HaMoked Kippa. We learned that the Beis HaMoked had a dome. Ubay Yisgar L'Hoya. It was a very large structure. Ask the Gemara, V'chad Shomer Hu Dehave. There was only one guard there, sheet that says V'chad Shmiru Hu Dehave L'Beis HaMoked. There was only one shimmer for the Beis HaMoked. For a minute, I'll ask you a kasha on that. Shnei Shorim Hoya B'Beis HaMoked. The Beis HaMoked had two gates. Echad Pasuach L'Cheil. One was open to the Cheil. The Echad Pasuach L'Azor. And one was open to the Azor. And we learned, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bazeh Shenichnas L'Azor, the one that went into the Azora, Pishpish Katan. There was a small door, Hoyaloy it had. There's two Pshatim. Either the door was right next to the gate. In the wall, they built a door. Or in the gate itself, they had built a small door. And what did they use that small door for? Shaboy Nichnasin Lichloish HaAzor. They went to inspect the Azor. What was the purpose of this inspection? So the Rosh says that the purpose was to see if anyone who was supposed to be guarding and not, they took shifts. But the ones who were on duty, they were not supposed to be sleeping. The other ones who were going to have the shift later could sleep. So there was someone going around on an unannounced visits, and they would come in and see if the person, the Kayin, who was supposed to be on duty, was he sleeping or not. So now, why does it tell us about the small door? Because, says the Rush, this is in the first wide line of the Rush at the end, Pesach Katan Ha'imed Eitzel Shar Gadol L'chapesh Al HaShomrim Bazora. If they were sleeping on the job, look away some. He gave them a zetz. He knocked them. He woke them up. So why didn't he open the big gate? They could have said like this, I'm going to go to sleep. What about the guy who's checking? The door, as we said, from Yosefun, it took 20 people to open that door. It was so heavy. So when that door creaks open and I hear the noise, it's going to wake me up from that big, strong gate that's being opened. So I'll go to sleep, and when the guy comes around to check if I'm sleeping, I'll have my automatic alarm clock because the shahr will wake me up. So the one who went around entered through a small door, and that small door didn't make any noise. So what's Mefarish learns differently. He learns that they went around to inspect if the Kalim, all the vessels that were necessary for the next day, were ready. And he didn't open the gate. As we mentioned before, the gate was only open when you're ready to do the avoda. Since this was before the avoda, it was to check that everything's ready for the avoda, they didn't use the gate, they used the small door. That's how he learned. But perhaps the Rush, his pshat, very well explains why we mentioned the small door here. We're trying to prove that this gate was a significant gate. As we mentioned, 20 people had to open it. And what the Gemara is trying to say, it's so significant that it would require another guard. The Beis HaMoked was a very big place. It had four chambers in it. So we would think that the gate on one side was on the north. That went into the Cheil. And then you had a gate on the south that went into the Azorah. So that's how we would think. And it was significant, we proved from the fact that the guy who went around didn't want to use this big heavy gate. He used only the small door, not to make noise, to wake up the people he's trying to check on. So we see it's a significant gate. It should require a shmira. The Rush, in fact, asks, why didn't the Gemara ask this question? There was only one shomer in the over there. There should have, by the Beis HaMoked, there should have been two Shomrim. Why didn't the Gemara ask this on the Gemara we learned before about Beis HaNitzutz. The Beis HaNitzutz, we also learned, had a gate to the Azara, and it had a door, it has a Pesach into the Chayil. So also, why didn't that have two Shomrim? So the Rush answers, because that door that let out was not used very much. If it wasn't used very much, they didn't need a separate Shomer over there. And perhaps I was thinking, that's why that door is not referred to as a Shar, it calls it a Pesach. To show either it was built in a smaller way than a Shar. It's not a Shar, it's a Pesach. It went out to the Chayil, it was used once in a while. So there the Gemara understood they don't need two Sharim. But the Beis HaMoikid, this big place, which had two heavy gates, and the Gemara proves they were heavy gates, so they were like a substantial entranceway. That's why they made these big heavy gates. So the Chayrit should need two Shomrim. That's the Gemara's Kashe over here. So the Amar Abaya, Kiv, and the Gabi Adari Abikami, Sagale Bechad Shomer. Since the doors were right next to each other, one Shomer was enough. Davi Lahachi, Vidavi Lahachi. He would look here and he would look there. The Gemara is trying to say, you made a mistake. You said that the Shar was on the north and the south of the Beis HaMoikid. No. That both doors were on the northeast corner of the Beis HaMoikid. So the door going to the Chayil was on the northern side, next to the Chayil, near to the northeast corner, and the door entering into the Azora was on the eastern wall of the Beis HaMoikid, when you would enter into the Azora from the east, and it was on the northeast corner as well. So one door was in the northern wall, and one door was in the eastern wall. But they were both near each other in the northeastern corner of the Beis HaMoikid. So one guard could very easily check both Shiarim at the same time. That's why you only had one Shiarim. If it would have been one Shar on the north and one Shar on the south, then in fact, it was a big place, then in fact, you would need two Shiarim to guard each Shar. Continues the Gemara. Mukev Raivdim Shal Evan. We learned in the Mishnah that the Beis HaMoikid was encircled with ledges of stone. Now these ledges, we should point out, as we're going to see in the Gemara, were made like steps. In other words, the bottom one, let's say, was 10 amas long. The next one was 8 amas. The higher you went, the smaller the Raivd was. And therefore, it was a means of steps. It was steps going up, and they would either sleep, there's a machloikus, we spoke about it in yesterday's shir, either they would sleep on the roivdim itself, perhaps on the top roivdim, or others say that the roivdim were only used to climb, and then they would sleep in niches that were carved out of the wall, that's where the Kohanim would sleep. So, Muk of Roivdim Shalavim, roivdim mind me, what are they? So the Gemara says, Gizarta ditstafta, these are yun, blocks of stone, the salkibulit stafta, where you would climb from one ledge to the other ledge, like steps, as we explained before. Ask the Gemara, if you have hewn stones, it means that you used iron metals in order to carve out these stones. Ask the Gemara, mi havi mifl gavonim, did they hew out stones? V'haksiv, the pasuk says, and this pasuk is Malachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin. The Pasuk says, V'habayis bibanasai evin shleima. That's the only part our Gemara brings. But it continues, Masa nivda umakvois v'hagarzen kol kli barzel leinishma babayis bibanasai. The Pasuk says that metal instruments were not used in the Beis HaMikdash. So how could they hew out with metal instruments when that was prohibited? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, the Misakne, they prepared it. Umayse, Miikara, they brought it before Avne Zitrus, the small stones, Vavne Ravitz, the big stones, Kitavsiv, as the Pasuk says, Avne Esra Amis, Vavne Shmoin Amis. Stones that were 10 Amis long, and stones that were 8 Amis long. And in other words, they served as steps. Each one was smaller. What the Mefarish explains, what's the Gemara's answer? You're right. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, you're not allowed to use any metal. And they didn't. They prepared it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Isser in using metal. This is Ve'emes Machloikis in Mesech Tesoite Daf Mem Chesem Ebeis. This represents the Shita of Rabbi Nechemya. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says you are not allowed to use metal on the base of Migdash at all. So how did they make different sizes of stone? They used the shamir, that was this worm that was able to cut through stone, and Tosfos in Sukkah, Daf Mem Tesum and Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Shekol, shows proofs that this shamir was still in existence in the second Beis HaMikdash, so they also used this shamir for making different sized stones. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah, Zikne Beis Av Yishenim Sham. Every day there was a different Beis Av that worked in the Chav Dalad Mishmoiros, as we discussed in the yesterday shir. So the Zakenim would sleep on these Roivdin, and the Pirchei Kuna would sleep on the floor. Va'amai, why did they have to sleep uncomfortably on the ledges or in the niches next to the ledge? La'elim mitais, bring in beds. It's not their cheretz to bring beds into the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why they did not. The last part of the Mishnah states, the next part, Pirchei Kohuna Ish Ksusa Be'aretz. The young Koyanim, each one used to have his pillow on the floor. They weren't Zocha like the Ziknei, the elders, to sleep on the ledges. They had to sleep on the floor itself. So the Gemara asks, Amai Hasam Karle Roivim. The Gemara thinks at this point that Roivim and Pirchei Kun are the same thing. They're both young Kohanim. So why, when it came to guarding the Beis HaMikdash in three places, it says that the Roivim used to do it? It calls the young Kohanim Roivim. And why, Hacha, over here, Karalu, as we turn to Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Pirchei Kuna, and here it calls them a different name, Pirchei Kuna, the Gemara thinks that we're speaking about the same group of young Kohanim. The Gemara answers, no. Again, there's various pshatim. We're going to give one pshat. Amri, I'll tell you. In, yes. Hasam deloy matu lemevet avoida, by the Shmira, who was given the job to be Shimer. So the Gemara says those were under bar mitzvah, because under bar mitzvah couldn't do the avoida, so they got the job of staying up all night to be shomrim. The kohanim who have to do the avoida, they need strength to do the avoida. They have to go to sleep, get a good night's rest before you do the very taxing avoida of the next day. So they didn't get the job of shmirah. Who got the job of shmirah? The kohanim who were under bar mitzvah got the job of shmirah, and they stayed up all night. So those korolei roivim, they were called roivim. They're under bar mitzvah. Hacha dematulu lemevet avoida. Here we're talking about a different group. They're talking not skenim, but they're not under bar mitzvah either. These are bar mitzvah. This pshat goes according to the shitas that by not chaf, you didn't do the avoida in the basement when you're 20 years old, but rather you did the avoida already at bar mitzvah. So these are the pirchei kuna. Why are they called pirchei kuna? The word poreach. In flight, they were so quick, young, and they were not like the Zakenim, who barely were able to move, but even though the Gemara says Kohanim is Rizimheim, but yet they were elder Kohanim, so they weren't as Zoras as the Pirchei Kuna. The Pirchei means they were flying like birds, but they were also bar mitzvah. Hacha dematu lemevet avoida. These younger Kohanim were sleeping in the Beis HaMoiked, but they were preparing to do the avoida because they were already bar mitzvah. Karlu pirchei. So they got another name. They got a name of pirchei kohuna. In fact, these are two different groups.